Welcome to The Sensuous, a radical celebration of your inner sensuous creature, your feeling, humming, dancing essence that's throbbing with creative impulse, orgasmic sensitivity, intuitive wisdom, and primal wildness. The part of you that perceives with the whole of your body and is interconnected with all that is. The one who's here to not only live, but be alive. This podcast invites you to re-experience yourself as a vital organ of the greater animate world, relating to your eroticism, pleasure, emotions, and full spectrum humanness as gateways to your own divinity. I'm your guide, Nadine Hamilton, seasoned sexuality coach, somatic practitioner, intimacy educator, and lifelong student. Join me and my guests as we explore the sacred and the profane through a somatic lens, unraveling all things sex, power, mysticism, healing, and conscious relating. This is the call of the sensuous. Do you feel it? Hi, beautiful. I'm so honored that you're here tuning into The Sensuous. This episode is so good, and it is by far one of my very, very favorite, most cherished conversations on the entire history of this podcast. I sat down with Rahi Chun, who is just so kind and brilliant, and it was such a beautiful discussion. He's a certified somatic sex educator, sexological body worker, and creator of Somatic Sexual Wholeness. And this conversation really goes there. We went into all things genitalia and how people can be navigating or experiencing numbness, pain, tension, disconnection, dissociation, shame, guilt, fear, any of these things, especially in relation to our sex center. And this area of the body is symbolic of this really tender, intimate, delicate, vulnerable, powerful as fuck, alchemical area of ourselves and our lives, and represents how we relate to so many other things in our lives, like our relationship with ourselves and our inner child, our relationship with sex and intimacy, our relationship with relationships in general, and with how we show up in the world. So we went really deep into de-armoring and also different ways that our early childhood developmental imprinting affects our adult sexual patterns, desires, and intimacy. You'll also learn about what exactly is true intimacy and how to establish true, genuine heart connections during sex. What is numbness? What is de-armoring? How do we upper limit our own pleasure? How to relate to sex as primal medicinal healing? And so much more. And this conversation with Rahi just made me even more excited and thrilled to be a part of this field, and so excited for my own upcoming training and certification in sexological bodywork. And if you were to tell me years ago that this would be my career path and this would be my passion and what I would be wanting to get certified in, I would have never fucking believed you. And now it could not feel more aligned. And I'm so passionate about it and excited to continue deepening in this field and in this work and expanding my offerings to all of you. And before we transition into today's incredible episode, I want to invite you inside of a free upcoming masterclass that I will be hosting online. And it's actually the first free online offering that I have offered in 8 months. So this is a big deal, people, and it's going to be the best that I've ever taught, that I've ever facilitated. I'm going to pour so much of my heart and soul and presence into this offering. And it's been so exciting to see many of you pouring in already. It's going to be really good. So it's called Soften, Unlocking Bliss Through Sensual Breast Massage. This is for you if you want to learn how to activate oceanic self-love and self-intimacy, awaken more luscious pleasure and sensitivity in your breasts and your body, and melt open the heart and your body through the healing practice of breast massage. This is actually an ancient vitality practice and ritual that has been practiced and passed down for thousands of years in many different traditions, including Tantra and Taoism. It is my go-to sensual self-love ritual, And I've found in my own journey and in working with clients that our raw, primal, authentic, full spectrum sexuality opens and flourishes when our heart opens and when our heart softens and when it feels safe to do so. So the breasts symbolically are the gateway to the heart. They are outward, radiating, and recognized as the positive pole of a woman's energy and sexuality in Taoism. And what many people don't realize is that the breasts can also store years and decades or even generations of stagnant energy and emotions and suppression. We can be holding on to a lot of grief, rage, shame, guilt, fear, disconnection, trauma even within the tissues of the breast. And so this really simple practice that you can do literally just in a couple minutes, but I'm going to guide you through a whole juicy ritual. It's one that cleanses this entire tender area of any lingering emotions and stagnancies. Again, it activates heightened pleasure, connection, and sensitivity. It's a way to reclaim your beautiful body as your own and crack open your heart to the most delicious self-love and even connection to universal love. I've had several clients in the past who, when they first found out that we would be diving into breast massage, their initial reaction was, but what if I get bored? That doesn't sound very exciting. I don't know if I'm going to be into this. And then time and time again, after they dive into this ritual and cultivate this deeper connection with this part of the body, they are amazed at how much more multi-orgasmic they become and how much more sensitive they become to pleasure, turn on, and even love. So if you want to join us and tap into your femininity, your heart, and your sensuality in a really beautiful way, the online class is going to be happening on Sunday, March 3rd. You can go to bloomwithnadine.com/soften. That's SOFTEN. Or you could go directly to the link in my show notes and I'll leave it there for you to sign up. Again, it's completely free. You will receive limited time access to the recording, even if you can't join us live. And everyone's cameras and microphones will be turned off as I'm guiding you through the ritual. So don't worry about that. You'll have total privacy and ease of mind so you can relax, drop in, and immerse yourself in the experience. I'm so excited to welcome you inside, and I'll see you there. So without further ado, here is today's episode of The Sensuous. Enjoy. I'm sitting with Rahi Chun, and I genuinely cannot be more excited about this conversation that to me feels so needed and important about reclaiming our relationships with our bodies and our sexuality and this very vulnerable and tender area of our body, of the genitals. And yeah, Rahi and I have been having a really beautiful conversation before we even started recording. So thank you for co-creating this space with me and welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much for that welcome and for the invitation. And It is an absolute delight and joy to be on The Sensuous with you. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And the first question that comes to mind is your beautiful business that you've created is called Somatic Sexual Wholeness. What does it mean and feel and look like to you to be sexually whole? What is sexual wholeness to you?
I love that question. And it's a great jumping off point. I really see sexual energy as our life force energy. You know, it's the source energy that's created everything. And for me, being sexually whole means honoring how that source life force wants to express, explore, and embody itself. And so, you know, it requires a number of things. One, it requires a healthy and clear vessel for the energy to flow the way it, in the directions that it wants. And it also involves an attunement. So for the body owner to have the capacity to really listen to the authentic flow of where that energy wants to go, and an ability to give voice to honoring where and how that energy wants to flow and be expressed. I feel like every human vessel has the the tools or the vessel to be sexually whole. And I feel like our honor and duty and joy is to really be true to that energy.
Beautiful. And something I resonate so deeply with your work and from the interviews that I've heard of you on different podcasts and on your own podcast is like this deep reverence that you hold for the body and this deep honoring and listening to the body. And I'm curious, maybe it wasn't just one single thing, but has there been a catalyst in your life that comes to mind that, yeah, catalyzed this reverence and respect and connection to the physical body?
Yeah, I love that question too. There are two things that stand out that come to mind as you ask that question. The first is I came out of my mom's womb with crooked legs. They were mangled based on how I was positioned in her womb. And when I came out, the doctors wanted to do surgery on my infant knees, but my mom, being a nurse, said, no, you're not going to do that. And instead, she massaged and lotioned my legs.
Wow.
And over the course of 3 years, they eventually grew out straight. So, I mean, I think that's the initial catalyst is my reverence for the body is that the body responds to conscious, intentional touch. The body has its own wisdom. I feel like the body knows how to heal itself. We just have to know how to give it space and provide the right support for it. So, you know, my body was healed from touch, from conscious, intentional touch. And so that really took me on this trajectory of wanting to know everything I could about how the body, like why and how did my body respond in that way? And then the other experience that comes to mind in regards to having such reverence for the body, I remember it was my first like Tantra residential training. It was through Margot Anand Sky Dancing. It was probably 22 or 23 years ago. And the first level of her teacher training was to clear the pelvic floor of any past trauma. And I was paired with a woman about 20 years older who was a survivor of incest. So she had areas of essentially pain and numbness, both externally at her vulva and intravaginally. And through a series of exercises that didn't require machinery or surgery or anything really fancy, all it really took was presence, like breathing together, sounding together to discharge the unintegrated emotions that were holding that armor in place that showed up as pain and numbness. By the end of that week, she had so much sensation and access to pleasure. And she was in her 50s by then. So her whole life, she never had this. And, you know, like I wasn't even trained in it. That was like my first introduction to it. And so I was so blown away by, again, what is possible with the human body when it's given the safety and container to really realign and connect with its own energy, that I wanted to learn everything I could about, you know, genital dearmoring. I mean, I didn't, back then, I think it was called inner pelvic release. And so those two events really stand out.
Incredible. What an imprint, like at that early of a stage developmentally, to like receive somatically that much love and presence and care from your mother, like for her to just patiently and compassionately and lovingly like massage your legs. That's such an act of love. That's beautiful.
Really, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was definitely an act of love. And I do feel like the body responds to that, you know, to acts of love, to intentional touch. I mean, I've been doing this for about 10 years now, and I feel like the intentionality of the practitioner is really understood or resonates within the nervous system of the receiver. And, you know, even outside of sessions, like when we're with, you know, a friend or a lover, like touches with a certain intentionality penetrate deeper because our body feels safe with it. And so it opens up and receives it on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And such a huge undercurrent of all of my sessions with clients, like anything that comes to the surface, even if it's something that you've been hiding from or suppressing or denying for a lifetime, meeting it with loving awareness. And every single time it shifts or it dissolves or it transforms into something else. And so we can learn all of the modalities in the world and listen to all the podcasts and read all of the books, but it really is that simple, not always easy, but it is that simple. Like whatever is coming up within you, can you meet it with loving awareness to the best of your ability and trust that that's enough?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, what you're touching upon, I think, is one of the keys to resolving trauma from the body or releasing armor from the body. And that is, you know, for years, sometimes for decades, the body is just waiting to feel safe enough to be seen and met and heard sincerely. And so what you're describing is having a safe enough space for the body's unintegrated trauma or emotions to come up to the surface to be seen and met. And when that happens, you know, it can discharge. I think, you know, whether it's scar tissue or actual genital armor, I think it's almost a reminder. It's like reminding the body, hey, there's some unintegrated memories, or there's something that you need to look at that I'm holding in place for you to look at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when that kind of curiosity and reverence is brought to the tissues and fascia, it senses that, and it senses that safety and that space to open up and respond and be seen.
Yeah. It was so transformative just to, like, as my journey continued, to like realize and feel in my body that the body is an organ of perception. It is alive. It is animate. It is conscious. There's no such thing as mind-body separation. And for the vast majority of my life, like my whole upbringing, I had no idea. And even like subtly, like everything that I was learning through school was like, the body is just this, I don't know, this piece of meat that you carry around, and the mind and logic and reason and intelligence like trumps all. And just the purpose of the body is to control it and manipulate it and contort it in certain ways, instead of realizing that your body carries infinite wisdom, true wisdom that we have the power to tap into.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and on top of that, I think the, you know, like the health system, like the medical system, like I'm thinking of therapists, it's so much education from the neck up, right? You know, and certainly medical professionals, there's so much education from the neck up, and there isn't that understanding that mind-body is one, and that the body, you know, in its infinite wisdom and intuition, really does know, does remember everything. I mean, not only does it remember everything from this life, but, you know, some would say it has memories like transgenerationally.
Yes.
You know, I mean, studies have been done with, you know, generational survivors of the Holocaust that show this to be actually true, you know? And so, yeah, it's true. We live in a society, this is just a time in human evolution where so much reward and emphasis is given, you know, on the neck up, on data, on analysis, and we're schooled that way. And, you know, when education programs are being cut, they're starting to cut PE and music. And I'm like, for God's sakes, those are the two that you need the most, you know, because that's what involves the body and the intuitive sense, you know.
Yes.
And yet we live in a society where that is the case. And so these somatic modalities, these body-based invitations to attune to listen for what it is the body truly wants, give voice to those desires and to receive it, you know, that's really where so much medicine lives. And, you know, I feel so blessed to, you know, have been exposed to, you know, the modalities that we work with that really honor the full wisdom of the body.
Yeah. And that's what awakens like the best sex and pleasure and intimacy of your life, is instead of like forcing our bodies into something or ramming something into your body, asking your body, what do you want right now? What do you need right now? How do you feel? What would feel nourishing or yummy or delicious right now? Like this deeper sense of listening, true listening.
Yeah. You know, I love that you share that because it reminds me of this. I had a couple in their 70s in my online genital dearmoring course, and they had done a lot of the exercises that involved, you know, attuning to what the body really wants, giving voice to it, and receiving that quality of touch. Mm-hmm. And now they're both in their 70s, and they shared that, you know, what they thought the purpose, I mean, essentially they were saying they discovered what they're really wanting from each other is the connection and intimacy and not the sex. Mm. And I feel like that's very, very common in our society. You know, people are hungering for real connection and intimate communion. And mm-hmm. they think the way to get there is through penetrative intercourse. But somehow after penetrative intercourse, if there is a lack of connection, they're mm-hmm. still yearning and hungering for that.
Yeah. Ooh, I want to highlight that for sure, is that having like physical sex does not automatically equate to genuine intimacy.
Absolutely.
And in my perspective, intimacy is so many things, but it's like, it's connection and it's letting yourself be seen and it's truly seeing another person instead of just your projection of
yes.
who you want them to be. It's like, no, I'm here. I'm listening to you. I'm feeling
yes.
you.
Yes.
And that doesn't have to equate to sex.
Yes. Yes.
You can experience deep levels of intimacy on so many different levels.
So many different levels without any penetrative intercourse.
Exactly.
And, you know, like, you know, at the same time, penetrative intercourse, when done consciously, can really just be heavenly and can deepen that connection and intimacy. But there is, I think, you know, at least amongst the younger clients that I have who've just been weaned on porn, that's been their sex ed, there's this idea, you know, it's an idea and it's not their authentic truth. It's an idea of what it means to be sexual, what it means to please your partner. And
yes.
it's really, you know, their sexual actions without the heart-to-heart connection and mm-hmm. without being, without the expression of real, authentic sensitivity and seeing and feeling and being met.
Mm. Wow, I feel that in my body. That's so beautiful. If someone's listening and they're like, wow, I want what they're having, I want to experience this heart-to-heart connection and not only just have sex, but have intimacy during sex. Do you have any words of wisdom for how someone could start to establish that deeper heart connection in a sexual exchange?
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, my kind of first introduction to sacred sexuality was the tantric path.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of kind of different variations of neo-tantra around today. So, you know, you kind of have to audition different schools or different teachers to really get a sense of who's really coming from a place of facilitating authentic heart-to-heart connection and mm-hmm. having that sexual communion be an expression of that place, right?
Mm.
But, you know, that's a really wonderful way to explore what I would say is kind of non-mainstream or non-normative kind of friction sex. You know, there are certainly wonderful, one of my favorite books is Diana Richardson's Tantric Orgasm for Women, because it really describes the state of beingness, the state of being in communion during lovemaking, and how to engage in a way where that can be prolonged and explored in extended ways. So, you know, those are way to start. But I would say, you know, as we know in somatic sex education, kind of the foundation is really developing that sense of presence and intimacy with oneself and with one's own genitalia, and then bringing that to a partnership. So, yeah, if you don't have a self-pleasuring practice, ask yourself, why not? Like everyone's busy, but you're worth it. And certainly your intimacy and your awareness with your own pleasure and arousal, erogenous arousal and pleasure patterns can be so rich, can be so expansive, can be so like infinite that, it's really that that you're bringing to any partnership. So I would encourage people to consider doing that as well.
Yeah, so empowering, like to fully own your pleasure and your sexuality and to reclaim it as your own responsibility as well. I know for me, for so long, I was surrounded by the narrative of, for example, in a heteronormative dynamic, it's the man's responsibility to give me an orgasm or give me pleasure. And if that doesn't happen, then it's their fault. When so many people that I was surrounded by, like, didn't know their own bodies or their own pleasure or their own orgasmic circuits. And we have this expectation of, oh, my partner should have it all figured out and they should be the one in charge of giving that to me instead of taking that into your own hands and cultivating it within yourself and showing up to relationships and intimacy and sex from this place of, I know my own instrument, I know how to play it, and I can guide you through that as well and show up to this dynamic as a whole grounded, embodied being.
That it's so critical, and it is so empowering, and it's so fascinating to play your own instrument of erogenous potential, like this exquisite piano or an exquisite instrument. And I feel like it's dangerous. It's dangerous to, especially when people are younger, because I find that most men, when they're younger, assume that, either through porn or through their own understanding how their own body's arousal system works, which is very different than how vulva owners' arousal system works. They just assume that it's the same. And a lot of vulva owning clients that I have who are younger have no, I mean, like half my clients, if they just learn the art of foreplay, a lot of their issues would be resolved. And I feel like that's really missing in our society, like in media, or certainly in porn, people are just going for the goal or the end result. And I feel, unfortunately, sadly, what people miss is the limitless terrains of sensation and arousal and intimacy and possible connection and, even spiritual vortexes that can open up, when they're so fixated on some kind of result.
Especially through porn, like it's so there's so much destination orientation and goal driven, and the point is to have, the orgasm and the ejaculation, and it's very much like this is the reason why this is happening, and there tends to be a huge lack of representation when it comes to vulva pleasure and like true, accurate representation of what it takes for a vulva to fully relax and soften and open and engorge with blood and be ready for penetration. It's kind of this expectation of, oh, we're turned on, this is happening, boom, penetration. And that is not at all accurate of how vulvas operate.
Absolutely. I mean, studies vary, but I've seen studies like, data collection that show that the average woman in America, anyway, takes between 20 and 45 minutes of intentional foreplay for the full erogenous capacity. So we're talking, the clitoral complex, the intravaginal space, the cervical space, to be available for pleasure. So, and studies show that the average lovemaking session in America is somewhere between like 3 and 7 minutes. So it's really, like geared towards a man's arousal system and not a vulva owner. And I mean, this is where genital armor, like people think genital armor gets formed from a rape or violation, but a lot of genital armor forms in very loving partnerships where, the penetration happens before the body is like authentically ready or before ample foreplay. And over time, certainly, months, years, and decades, those tissues are so sensitive. They want to protect themselves from, you know, being penetrated before they're ready. And so desensitization will happen. And, you know, people will wonder, like, why am I not, you know, experiencing orgasms? Or why is my pleasure, like, in black and white instead of color now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like this is beautifully tying back to when we were talking about how the body innately knows how to heal and how to thrive and how to release when it is put in an ecosystem and a space that feels safe and loving, and it feels empowered to do that. And yes, it takes this deeper listening. So I love that you use the word protection, because when we're experiencing pain or numbness or discomfort, it's easy to judge that and shame that and make your body wrong. But what if we rewrote that narrative and realized that that is a way of your body protecting you in the best way that it knows how? It's literally coming from this pure place of love and wanting you to survive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I consider genital armor the body's very wise and loving response to wanting to protect itself, you know, either from a threat of harm or the a perceived threat of harm. And you know, the genitalia is such an incredibly sensitive, vulnerable, and personal part of one's body and identity that it doesn't want to feel pain, whether it's the pain of someone not being attuned to my needs or the pain, the physical pain of someone penetrating before they're ready.
And I've seen go ahead.
No, it is definitely the body's wise, intelligent, and loving response to itself.
I'm dropping in really quick to let you know that I'm offering a completely free 7-day erotic awakening course called Living Sensuality that you can dive into at any time. Hundreds of people literally have now been through this beautiful 7-day program that guides you through simple yet highly effective 10-minute practices that you can fit into any busy lifestyle and keep coming back to again and again. These powerful explorations will start to ignite your juiciest sensuality, create inner safety in states of pleasure and self-intimacy, become more present and connected to your own body, and bring your innate eroticism and turn on back to life. I found that if you want to live a life of more pleasure and more connection, then that requires intentionally spending more time in pleasure and connection and actually making it a priority. Just like creating space in your life for going to the gym or learning a new language or improving a certain skill set, pleasure and sexuality are also skills that we must actively strengthen if we say we want to experience what's truly available to us within these realms. Living Sensuality makes this so easy and so accessible with juicy practices that, again, are only 10 minutes because I wanted to make sure that you receive the best of the best minus the fluff. So go to bloomwithnadine.com/living sensuality to get started for free today and join the movement of erotic liberation and ancestral healing. Now back to the episode. I've seen so many times how numbness can be, not always, but it can be like an added layer of protection on top of the pain, because at some point the pain was too much, too soon, too fast, too overwhelming. So this layer of numbness is kind of built, might not be the right word, but built on top of the pain, because your body doesn't want you to be too dysregulated and overwhelmed by the pain itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, what you're describing is also the nervous system upregulation response. So like when we're feeling sensation, I equate that to the nervous system social engagement stage. When it goes into fight flight, that's where we feel discomfort, pain, burning, stingy. But when it goes into numbness, that's the really the free state of those tissues and fascia. And so when we de-armor numbness, the first thing that someone will feel is pain or stinginess or numbness, or I mean, stinginess or burning. And that's actually progress, because they're coming out of that numbness. And eventually we get them into a state of receptivity and sensation and pleasure.
Yeah, it's like this defrosting period.
Defrosting, totally.
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with you if you are experiencing pain or tension or these stinging feelings. It's like a communication from your body.
And it is.
For anyone who doesn't know, could you explain what exactly is de-armoring?
Sure. So genital de-armoring is the process of bringing attunement to the tissues and fascia of the genitalia that are holding unprocessed emotions from a past trauma or past events. And so, you know, as we've been sharing, armor forms from the body's natural wisdom of wanting to protect itself. So the de-armoring, so to reverse that process, we're really bringing awareness, attention, and touch to those areas so that whatever unintegrated emotions that were too overwhelming to feel at the time of that armor can really have a voice, can be seen, can be met, and discharged so that there can be organic sensation, blood flow, and pleasure returning to those tissues. And, you know, there's so many different like ways armor forms. I mean, like violation overriding someone's consent is kind of the obvious. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, like you could be in a loving relationship and just be in a pattern of people pleasing or, you know, sex out of convenience, or, I mean, we all fall into patterns, you know, and so, you know, armor can form with someone you love very dearly, but there's just not ample foreplay. And that creates discomfort or numbness over time. It can also form from like no physiological contact at all, but from deep shaming. So if you grew up in a deeply shaming religious environment or a cultural environment, you know, as I mentioned, I have clients who, you know, their mothers referred to their genitalia as shame. So then, you know, you add on top of that some sort of religious dogma where sexual pleasure means you're going to hell, things of that sort, and armor can form around the genitalia there as well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have medical procedures that can, you know, cause armor to the area. But, you know, the wonderful thing is all of this armor can be de-armored, you know, and that's where I think, I mean, honestly, Nadine, I think it's so magical. I mean, the first
it
time
is.
I went, you know, like that first experience I shared when I went to the Tantra training and this woman who was a survivor of incest, by the end of the week, there was so much more sensation and aliveness. And it changes so much about your self-identity, your confidence, your life force, what you think is possible. You know, I also see in a lot of my clients, the more their nervous system attunes to feeling safe in receiving life force energy in the form of sensation and pleasure, the more safe they feel in receiving other forms of life force, whether it's like a promotion at work or like a loving relationship. Because energy is energy. And the more safe you feel receiving it in the form of pleasure, you know, the more you feel safe taking it in all different forms of life.
Wow. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I think like mainstream, it can be rare to hear this conversation around feeling safe enough for pleasure, because a lot of us like don't realize that we may be upper limiting ourselves, even when it comes to the amount of pleasure that we let ourselves feel, you know, especially if during early developmental experiences, we were consciously or subconsciously taught that pleasure is something that we're not worthy of, or we need to earn it, or we need to check off our whole to-do list before then we can have playtime.
Yeah, it's really fascinating that upper limits. I find that whatever strategy you used as a child to feel loved and accepted in your family. So for example, you know, some kids take on the role as the peacemaker, or let's say the overachiever, or the rebel to get attention. That identity is usually what's standing in the way of you as an adult to be sexually whole. So if you're the people pleaser, obviously that can get in the way of you really receiving pleasure yourself. You know, if you're the overachiever, you may be hyper-focused on the pleasure of your partner, but not on, you know, what it is that your body needs. And so I find it you know, useful to really identify, well, what was your strategy as a kid to belong in your home? Mm-hmm. And is that in the way of really receiving? And yeah, I mean, what you mentioned as far as like the not good enough, I mean, there's so many ways we restrict receiving, from clients feeling like they're gonna like owe their partner something, like they have to give something in response if they receive, mm-hmm. to feeling not good enough. And that really has to do with bringing safety into the nervous system in order to receive.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes deep. It really, I think, invites us to look at what belief systems, what somatic patterns, you know, what did we really indoctrinate into our bodies around touch, around pleasure when we were young as children, to really start to unravel what's in the way of getting what we really want as adults.
So well said. What really resonated with me as you were speaking is that part around receiving, and especially around how vulnerable that can be. And I speak with a lot of women and people with vulvas who feel like just so much guilt. And I know that has been the story of my life for a very long time, like feeling this guilt in relationship, like I'm never doing enough. Or if someone gives you something, oh, now I owe you even more than that. It's like this one-upping. And yeah, it can be incredibly vulnerable to receive, especially somatically and sexually. Mm-hmm. There was one more thing that came up for me. It'll come back.
Well, you know, it is very vulnerable to receive for all the reasons that you share, whether it's guilt or feeling like you have to reciprocate. But the other thing is really, you know, it invites letting go of control to really receive fully, yes. Right? And so I find that my clients who are in orgasmic, there's a lot of control issues where it didn't feel safe. You know, maybe there was an alcoholic in the home or a rageaholic, and it just didn't feel safe to trust someone else, you know, to yield to someone else, you know, because there wasn't someone else trustable in the family. And so receiving, I think, is really tied with feeling safe in the nervous system and an ability to let go of that control. Because you don't know where it's going to take you. You don't know what's going to happen. And that's both the ecstasy, the infinite, realms of unventured pleasure. And, you know, I mean, it really requires a lot of trust.
Yeah, that's the next thing I was going to say, is it takes so much trust, trusting yourself, trusting the person that you're with, trusting life and trusting your body and the energy and the sensations that you're experiencing. And also that like sex and pleasure and emotions and just the whole human experience doesn't have to look a certain way. And again, going back to porn, we see a very narrow representation of what sex looks like. And when you are fully surrendering and fully letting go of control, I can almost guarantee you it's not going to look anything like porn. Like absolutely. It might be what we would consider to be gross or weird or maybe even demonic looking, like if you're having a ragegasm or crying and we think there's something wrong if we're feeling all of these big emotions. Like a question that I get a lot is it normal that I cry during sex? It is so normal, especially because you're engaging with like this part of yourself and your body that is so tender and intimate and like close to your core, close to the bone. So it's going to naturally bring up sensations, emotions, energy that were previously stagnant in the body. And when we can trust the natural process of that without attaching to it or making it mean anything, that's when you release it instead of stifling it down deeper and deeper over and over again into your system.
Yeah. I mean, this is where I feel like sex and sexuality is sacred. And it could, I mean, it could be the most healing portal available because it does tap into our primal nature and into realms of emotion that we may have no sense of where it's coming from. And we don't have to, you know, I mean, the only thing that I would want is for the container to be safe so that anything and everything can come up in that space. I've really been influenced by a lot of Taoist practices and philosophy around sexuality, where they really see it as life force energy, and it's very, very primal, and it's healing. It's the medicine. It's like sexual energy is, you know, they believe that, you know, everything's life force, and the two sources of life force are food and sex. And so sexual energy is actually cultivated and consciously circulated through the body to heal. I mean, it's used as medicine. So, you know, like I studied with a Taoist master for a while, and there's actually prescriptive books. Like if someone has a weak liver, you do this position of intercourse, this many repetitions, and then send that energy to heal the liver. It's a very fascinating application of the energy for healing. But to your point, you know, the best genital dearmoring is to have attuned, conscious, loving, you know, consensual sex. That's like the best healing.
Yes.
And I wish that for everyone.
Everyone. Yes.
Everyone. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Can you imagine what kind of world peace, what kind of like,
oh my God,
you know, like, like we'd just be, you know, like it would be such a giving world if everyone's cup was full sexually in that way.
Yes. And like on a surface level, maybe they don't seem related at all, but I think they could not be more related. Could you imagine if like world leaders experienced their own bodies and their own like turn on as sacred and healing and powerful in a way that isn't like dominating necessarily or like manipulating someone else, but just this beautiful healing energy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I, you know, like I have these fantasies of like, you know, the Sex Celestial Bodyworker Institute going into the UN and like giving all these leaders like, you know, sexual dearmoring so that they can feel alive and free and abundant and full.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I mean, here in America, I feel like so much of the gun culture is related to men feeling disconnected with their penises.
Yes.
So they need these, you know, like symbolic representations. They need to have the biggest gun that shoots the most bullets because they're so disconnected from their own personal power, from their own genital power. You know, it's, I mean, that consumerism, like avoidance culture, like social, like it's all interrelated to how disconnected we are from our own sexual life force.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say like the vast majority of conversations I've had on The Sensuous have been around women and people with vulvas, because that's the majority of my clients, but it has affected men and people with penises so much as well. Like, being that disconnected from this source of power and beauty and healing and having a relationship with it where you're taught that like its only purpose is to be rock hard and to approach your sexual partners from this place of like taking in a way and conquering and proving and making sure that they get to a certain place. Like, what would happen if more people related to their penises as something that is a pillar of healing and consciousness.
Consciousness.
Imagine.
Exactly. Exactly. Consciousness. I mean, like, because I work with penis owners as well, like it is, I mean, it's rampant how much pressure men feel.
The pressure.
To perform. Yeah. It's pressure to perform. You know, once again, going to porn and the examples here, they don't realize that, you know, these porn actors, you know, like these scenes take days to film, you know, it's not like the, you know, it's, and yet men feel pressure to perform, and it's almost like they feel like their value and self-worth as a man comes from giving their partner an orgasm, which makes the woman, their partner feel like, you know, like there's some like measure, you know, like they've got to perform in order to feel like he's competent or in some way. I mean, it's this whole like performative culture. And when what everyone really wants is just to be seen and held and connected. And men either feel a lot of pressure to perform, or, you know, a lot of them will also, I had one client who's a male. He saw his father physically abuse his mom growing up, and his father was like this alpha male type. And so he equates that alpha male abuser with his virile erection. And so he has erection issues because he doesn't want to be like his father.
Wow.
You know, so there are all sorts of ways in which this kind of toxic culture affects men and their own connection to their life force and their genitalia as well.
For most of my life, I had no idea that my body, my pleasure, my sensuality, my eroticism are my own. I had no idea that I had the right to my own body. I had no idea that my pleasure and my turn-on and my arousal are sacred and are, in fact, healing modalities. And so, for most of my life, I lived from the head up, completely disconnected from my sensations and my body because it didn't feel safe to go there. And if you're anything like me and you have this desire to live a life that is embodied, that is pleasurable, that is connected, that is liberated in your true authentic expression and experiencing deeper levels of intimacy with yourself, with the world, and with the people around you, then I have something very special for you. And I would love to invite you to join us on March 10th in New York City, if you're in the area, for an in-person one-day retreat. This is an intensive called Foundations of Full Body Pleasure, Awakening the Sensuous Self. And this is for you if you want to expand your capacity for exquisite, delicious pleasure, audacious sensuality, deepened self-love and self-connection, and soul-level intimacy by establishing an embodied sense of inner safety, connection, and trust. This one-day intensive is a radical celebration and reclamation of your sensuous, erotic self and your body. Together in community, we're going to learn how to use our built-in tools of breath, sound, movement, touch, and awareness to cultivate within ourselves all of the things that we're subconsciously grasping for externally. We're gonna harness that from within so you can unleash your sensual nature, claim your true desires, voice your boundaries and your yes and your no, and begin to rewire your nervous system to associate your pleasure, sexuality, and intimacy with a sense of safety, love, celebration, and belonging. This immersion is a training ground for how you most want to show up throughout your whole life, your intimacy, and your relationships. This transformative event is happening on the Pisces Super New Moon, and I cannot be more excited. So if you want to join us, you can head to the show notes and you'll find the link there, or you can go directly to bloomwithnadine.com/events to claim your ticket now. I hope to see you inside. And could you speak some more on that, like how you've seen, whether it's an example with a client or just whatever wisdom wants to be shared, specifically around like early developmental imprinting and experiences and how that then affects our adult relationships and intimacy?
Sure. So, I'm really fascinated by initial touch imprints. Initial relational imprints and how that often creates patterns throughout one's life into adulthood. I mean, when I do intakes, I go all the way back to wanting to know what the client's birth was like, because we know that the oxytocin release in the mother and child, which nature facilitates to bond mother and child, can also pair oxytocin with an unhealthy emotion during birth if there's a difficulty. So for example, like if there's a lot of struggle, like my sister, for example, was a breech baby. There was a lot of struggle with my mom giving her birth, and you know, my mom's relationship, you know, is very much one of struggle, you know, with my older sibling. So like there are these pairings that can happen. So that can happen at the initial birthing experience. And then how a child is being nursed and whether their needs are being met, mm-hmm. right? So for example, if a child is struggling to latch on to the mother's breast, the association with getting their nourishment needs met with struggle in the neck and jaw area, you know, that can lead to one's feeling apprehension or anxiety about getting their intimacy needs met as an adult. So there are all these ways in which like these imprints from childhood affect our adult intimacy patterns. I like to get a sense of, you know, what was the soup during the gestation of a client? What is their first memory of their sexuality? I find this really fascinating because mm-hmm. a lot of times there's like a thread. And then certainly patterns during adolescence. So again, like whatever strategy we use to belong in the family shows up in the bedroom as adults and oftentimes can get in the way of what we really want. Yeah, and then, I mean, I think any listener can look back at their adult patterns of intimacy and notice like what are the patterns and, you know, is there anything I can do to consciously change that if it's in the way now? So mm-hmm. for some people, like, you know, they never feel satisfied or they're always initiating and not being pursued or, you know, maybe they get to the cusp of being fulfilled and then something drops, you know, like what are your own patterns? Taking inventory of your patterns and starting to discuss that with your partner now to change them. You know, that could be an easy way to start shifting things up and really having your body receive what its desires are to the point of satiation. Mm. I'm kind of big on the experience of being satiated because I feel like in society, in kind of, you know, I feel like in modern day, it's kind of like when you're given a hug, but then the hug is released before you really settle into it, before your body's really fully satiated. Mm-hmm. I feel like that happens in touch, how we're touched by our partners, and in lovemaking too, especially in the, you know, aftercare of lovemaking. You know, like, are your needs getting fully fulfilled and nourished before, you know, your partner hops into the shower or you get dressed to leave, you know, because it can really, really, you know, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like getting up from a meal before you're fully satisfied. It's going to make a difference to your body. And that will, you know, that can encourage your body to even deepen and expand its awareness of what it really desires and then getting what it really desires. And that can be like night and day between feeling empowered, fulfilled, nourished, loved, and not.
Everything you're saying, I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, our bodies are, you know, a wonder. They're really a wondrous, I mean, it's a privilege to be in a body. And I think we kind of owe it to our bodies to really listen for what its authentic desires are.
I love that. It's a privilege to be in a body. Like, what would happen if we all let ourselves genuinely feel that? It's so easy to constantly be stressed and worried and projecting into the future or ruminating on the past. What happened if we let ourselves just for a moment land here now and feel the gift, the miracle, the privilege that it is to even have a body and be in a body that's alive, yes, with a beating heart right now? Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
To
it's incredible.
Even breathe.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So the Tibetans say it's such a rarity to be reincarnated into a body once again. It's as rare as if you were in the Pacific Ocean and your head came up out of the water and there's one buoy in all the Pacific Ocean and your head just lands in that buoy. That's how rare it
is. Wow. I love that.
Yeah. So yeah, to not take it for granted. And, you know, it's fascinating. I mean, you know, it's fascinating to understand the miracle that your body is, and to treat it with the respect it deserves.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you brought up a few different examples of working with clients and in your own life, but what are some more of like the biggest shifts that you've experienced when it comes to sexual healing from a body-based approach? Like,
sure.
What are the core differences of going straight to the body and your whole somatic universe?
Sure. You know, two strong examples come to mind. One is, I once had a client who survived clitoral circumcision as a child. She was 9 years old. This happened in Egypt. And now she's in her 40s. She's a doctor. She has numbness. She doesn't feel, she when she came to me, she had essentially a numb pelvis from that trauma when she was nine. And I don't know if it was a second or third session, I facilitate something called neuroaffective touch. It's a modality that was developed by senior somatic experiencing trainers that is designed to release chronic guarding patterns from childhood, right? So it's actually not related to sexuality at all. However, what was fascinating was with this client, you know, she had armor behind her, at her left, the left side of her back, between her shoulder blade and her spine, which is exactly behind the heart center. Mm-hmm. And when she, you know, as we were working through her trauma, it was her trusted grandmother who was the one who took her to this clitoral circumcision. Mm-hmm. And so she had this deep sense of betrayal. Well, she asked for a hand and support at this part of her back. And as we were working through the emotions, when she got to the core of that sense of betrayal, she purged, like physically and energetically, as if she was in a plant ceremony. And it was after that purging that sensation returned to her genitalia.
Wow.
So yeah. So what's amazing is, like, you know, I didn't, her genital dearmoring came from getting in touch with that deep sense of betrayal. So it's almost like the genital armor was like a placeholder for her to deal with that betrayal, you know, of her beloved grandmother. And, you know, this came from the back of her heart. The armor was behind her heart. It needed to be comforted, to be touched, so that she was reminded of you know, that experience of betrayal, mm-hmm. that emotional betrayal. So this is a way where it's something that seems very simple, you know, bringing support to the back of her heart, but it's that somatic contact that really allowed her to get in touch with her embodied feelings that was keeping her genitalia numb. And by the way, now she's able to have, you know, orgasms, vaginal orgasms, clitoral orgasms, et cetera, et cetera.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible. Incredible. Mm. You know, another example is more of a kind of a straightforward biomechanical circumstance. But well, here's an example. Here, I'll share something else. So I had a client once who came to me 8 months postpartum, and her birth was a traumatic experience for her. She was older, in her mid to late 40s. Her home birth had to get thrown out the window, and she was rushed to the hospital. Long story short, when she came, she was numb from the waist down. The first thing I did with her was put her on a vaginal steam, so the steam could start massaging her vulva, and she could start feeling the sensations that she was numb to. Mm-hmm. And she was just crying because, you know, the grief from her traumatic birth was held in her pelvic tissues, really. As we were de-armoring her genitalia, a lot of anger towards the doctors overriding her wishes, like, that all came forward. And when she went home, she texted me the next day. She said, Rahi, last night was the first night my daughter, Ava, slept through the night without crying. So maybe it's a coincidence that, you know, like she had the session and her daughter's not crying. It might be a coincidence. There might be a correlation though. So I think it was like the third or fourth session, there was an area of armor that I kept returning to. And when I asked, you know, what memory or image is coming forward, she said, I didn't want them to take my baby away. And it turned out that this was not from her birth 8 months previous, but she had this blocked out memory from when she was 24 and she had an abortion.
Wow.
And she was raised Catholic. She judged herself a baby killer. She blocked it out of her memory because she had no family support. And once this memory came forward and she was able to process the emotions around that, her baby was no longer colicky around her. And she was able to have this kind of relationship with her daughter that she saw her husband having, because her baby was not colicky with the father, but was colicky with her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is where the hands-on work, I mean, she could have gone to, you know, a therapist and talked about it for probably years, but, you know, de-armoring, genital de-armoring, body de-armoring really takes bringing that conscious loving touch to the body, and meeting the unintegrated experiences where it feels safe and ready to be met.
Bless this work. Bless this work. Wow.
Bless this work and bless our field. I feel like it's a pioneering, like almost a revolutionary field that we're, you know, that we're privileged to serve in.
It's incredible. And so much stigma, so much taboo. And yet it's, for me, the deepest healing and expansion and just everything that I've ever experienced or witnessed in other people. And those are some incredible, incredible stories. What I'm hearing is like the combination of having the courage to feel the unfelt while also being held in safety and co-regulation is just like you can release decades of stored emotion and trauma and tension and things that you didn't even know you were holding on to. When again, we go directly into the parts of ourselves where that we've maybe been terrified of for a lifetime and feel safe enough to do that and meet it on a somatic level with loving touch and awareness and just let it be exactly what it is and trust that it knows how to release and how to integrate.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of, you know, when I think about what we do, I think there's an odd thing in our society where, because I have a lot of clients who are in loving relationships, you know, for years or even decades, but they've never had the opportunity of receiving one-way touch in a conscious way. You know, because it's like when they're dating, they're both going at it, and then patterns form and they both go at it, and they've never really explored their partner's body with one-way touch, where all the partner's doing is just being present to receiving, you know? And so what we do is we, you know, it shouldn't be as rare of an experience as it often is, where people start to learn, sometimes for the first time, different and new areas of erogenous arousal and pleasure in their body or their genitalia, you know, in a conscious, safe container. But yeah, it could be revelatory. You know, like I had a 69-year-old client last year. Her husband of 42 years had passed away like a year and a half previous. And she's like the most orgasmic client I've ever had at 69. And I just, you know, I love that because it's never too late to learn.
Never.
And, you know, our bodies are always evolving. But and so we can always discover, you know, new joys and new pleasures and new new mysteries about the body.
Thank you for bringing that up, because yeah, culturally, I think especially around women and people with vulvas, there's this story of like once you reach a certain age, you're irrelevant, you're shriveled up, you are disconnected from pleasure or sensuality. And that's such a lie. You can be erotically yes. alive and juicy and engaged and connected at any yes. age.
At any age. Absolutely. Yeah. At any age. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love working with older clients as well. I mean, it's a real joy.
So important.
Yeah. I had a, in my course, I had an 82-year-old student and, you know, I think we all learned from her, you know, more than, I mean, as much as she learned from us, but it's a joy. It's really never too late.
Wow. That's incredible. Well, I want to be conscious of your time because I know you have an upcoming call, but is there anything else before we go into where people can find you and how they can work with you? Is there anything else that you wish you could just scream from the rooftops and put on every billboard in the world? What wisdom do you want to share to leave us off?
You know, what I want to say is, what I want to encourage people to do is examine your relationship of intimacy with your own body and with your genitalia, how you hold your genitalia, you know, affects those tissues and the energy that flows in your genitalia. Are you holding it with loving consciousness, with reverence, with, you know, or is it a thing you're trying to manipulate and get something out of? Mm-hmm. And so when you're self-pleasuring, when you're going to the bathroom, I mean, whenever you can remind yourself that your genitalia, and by the way, I think a lot of times we treat our genitalia like we treat our inner child. You know, we can be critical of it, we can be loving of it. So just being aware of what your relationship of intimacy is with your genitalia in both your touch and your thoughts. And I guarantee you, if you shift that relationship, it will shift your life.
Mm. I love leaving off on that. And also that, like, the armor and tension that in our bodies we're holding onto, that isn't always coming from a capital T traumatic event. Like, that can be just a lifetime of only ever relating to this part of your body with shame and disgust and rejection. And if you were to genuinely relate to everything, including your genitals, as an organ of perception and as animate and conscious and alive, how you relate to it and the energy that you approach it with, it's going to have a reaction to that. You know, if Absolutely. You approach a small kitten with hatred and aggression, it's going to hide away from you. So
absolutely.
Something I just made content about this last week, I think, but a simple practice is to literally just take a moment to smile down at your genitals and see what happens. That's it. Just smile.
Absolutely.
Acknowledgement.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. And, you know, like, how many times a day do we empty our bladder? It's just a wonderful opportunity to give a lovely touch.
Yeah.
Because it affects, I mean, again, going back to my initial kind of impetus of my mom healing my legs, that conscious touch, it really healed my legs. And so it affects tissue, it affects fascia, it affects, you know, anything alive, and our tissue is alive. Every cell is alive. So, you know, yeah, we have opportunities all the time.
Yeah. Gorgeous. Well, I genuinely cannot be more grateful right now to have connected with you. And I'm so glad I had that intuitive hit to reach out to you and invite you on the show. This has definitely been one of my favorite conversations. And if people want to continue being in your world and working with you, how can they find you?
Sure. So my website is somaticsexualwholeness.com. And you're welcome to reach out to me via the contact page on somaticsexualwholeness.com. I also teach genital dearmoring to the various somatic sex education institutes, in-person workshops, but also online. So I have a course called The Three Keys to Genital Dearmoring for Expanding and Reclaiming Pleasure. And you can find information on that course also on my website.
Beautiful. And I'll have all of those links in the show notes. Definitely check out Rahi. And thank you so much for who you are in this really vital, essential, life-changing, world-changing work that you're offering to the world. It's incredible.
Oh, thanks, Nadine. Thank you so much for the invitation. And thank you for, you know, just being the force of education and empowerment and pleasure and awareness and consciousness that you are in all the ways that you do.
Thank you so much for listening to The Sensuous, the home for real, raw conversations about sex, love, relationships, power, somatic healing, spirituality, and fully owning our human experiences. The absolute best way to stay connected and receive the most powerful teachings and offerings is by heading to bloomwithnadine.com/newsletter to sign up for my email list. It's also incredibly supportive if you take a minute to tap the follow button and leave a rating and written review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. This really helps more beautiful souls like yourself discover this content. If you resonated with the episode, definitely make sure to share it on your social media and tag me at I Am Nadine Hamilton. Send it along to your friends, lovers, and family, and keep listening to more episodes. Let's spread the word about these taboo yet essential discussions. I love and appreciate you so very deeply, and I'm celebrating you for making it to the very end of a podcast episode. Congratulations. I hope you do something to honor your inner sensuous creature today. Thank you for being here.